Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 87 from September the 25th, 1993. We're still live in Garden High School in Oakwood, Virginia. No, I am not drinking Hennessy this early in the morning. Doc is back. For those who don't know, we record episode 86 and 87 back-to-back, so Doc is still sitting here with a weak stomach. And we're going to have some fun this week as normal. Last week we had a hot episode with the Steiners coming in and so much more. This week, and Sherry Martel as well, this week we'll continue some of the things we saw in last week, and more storytelling will be told. Harper, how you doing this morning, man? You hanging in there? I know you're missing another show.
I know, huh?
That's fucked up. Yeah. You got some work to do once we're done today?
Yeah, supposedly.
Okay, I hear that, man. Doc, how you doing, man? Stomach hanging in there?
Super duper, pal.
You got any demographics for my hometown, New Orleans, Louisiana, that you wanted to share with the group? Because I always, you know, we're accused of always shitting on the towns in the Smoky Mountains. So I'm curious if you have anything.
Yeah, I've got to piece this together from a couple of sources because I didn't take notes, but I am ready to get started here. So as we all know, our cute little menace here is from New Orleans, Louisiana. So first of all, in the 2010 census, there were 343,829 people in New Orleans.
Right.
That's a big town. And if you spread out to the metro area, like where Harper's at out in the lily white suburbs,
yeah,
you get up over a million. So it's a lot of people, man. It's more than one traffic light, you know what I mean.
Is this your full assessment? I thought you were going to have, like, really insulting statistics of...
Insulting? Well, here's the insult.
Okay, here it is. This is what I've been waiting on. This is the payoff.
You know, so, a lot of the towns where we ply our craft here are, what, 95, 97, 98% white, right?
Yeah.
All right. In New Orleans proper, it is 33% white.
That sounds about right.
One out of every three people you see is a honky.
Which means you don't see a lot of honkies.
No.
You are in the minority.
Yes.
So that means somebody's got to be the majority. And that'd be black folks. We're going to go with 60.2% African American in New Orleans.
This is 2010 numbers, right?
Yeah.
Now, numbers before, which is very much different than
before Katrina.
Yeah.
When there was about a half a million people roaming around, and the hurricane disproportionately displaced the brothers and sisters, correct?
You probably had a higher percentage before then, but go ahead.
So do a little numbers calculating about how many black people that is while I pull up my other site here, because I couldn't get I had to go to a different site to get the economic data.
Oh, God.
So I'm pulling that up. It's not that bad, actually.
Oh.
Say something.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pulling it up, jackass. Wait. Say something about all those black people. What's it like to live in a place like that?
It was fine.
More women for you?
Yeah.
More women for what? No, it was good, you know. Everything was cool. I mean, I made it and I'm doing just fine these days. You know,
so
just like
leave.
You are. Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you live now?
what does that have to do with anything?
Why do you not want to tell me?
Yeah.
Cuz it's not something I need to share.
Okay.
I live in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, but I want to hear more about these New Orleans statistics, though.
Okay, well, this is shocking to me. And I've run into a little bit of a problem here. This is going to be household income for...
Oh, God.
No. New Orleans, the New Orleans, Metairie, Kenner area, because I couldn't just get the city. So I had to bump out to the metro, which is like a million people. But so when we're in the Smokies, what are these towns like household income, median household income, like 29,000, 23,000, 25,000?
Just say between 20 and 30.
Ugh.
If that sometimes.
Well, in New Orleans, this shithole that's all black people, the median household income is $48,000.
Huh. How about that?
More than almost twice.
And you can't include food stamps in household income either, can you?
Well, I don't know what you do when you're that poor, but so the United States household income, median household income was $57,600. So they're a little below that, but even the whole state of Louisiana, which is some real shitheads, is $45,000.
Huh.
Wow.
So we're talking about Corny rolling through the eastern Tennessee, west eastern Kentucky, Virginia area and just taking people's last dollars here.
Well,
because I've been to New Orleans. I like New Orleans, but I don't go down there and go, huh, this looks like a really rich place.
Yeah, I don't think that at all.
And they're balling at 2x of the Smoky Mountains. That's rough.
So you're saying is the African American area is better off than the poor white areas? I'm trying to follow your line.
Well, I didn't say that. I think you said it.
No, I didn't. I just think that, you know, poor is poor.
You want to say you really want to spike the football on all these poor white hillbillies? I know you do.
I grew up around a lot of poor folks, man. Dirt poor. So I'm not trying to say anything. I'm not saying anything, man. No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. I don't believe on taking a shit on people like you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
The people in the Smokies don't like you, but that's okay.
Okay.
You're not the right color for them anyway.
Oh, that's real classy of you to say. You're such an asshole.
So that really, I got to say, well, the skin pigmentation did not surprise me. But I may have to continue to dig around on that economic data because that surprised me.
Okay. That surprises me, too, by a lot.
Yeah.
Because I drive around New Orleans every day, and it's a fucking shithole.
Yeah, I don't know. We're gonna more to come on that. We want to get things right here, so I'm gonna stay with this story. I'll cover the event, and I'll do some more digging. I want to make sure we get this right because I don't want to spike the football on these poor idiots any more than I have to.
Okay, you're an idiot. Okay, so let's get into the show. Where am I at? Fuck, I'm lost listening to this bullshit. Again, we are the unprofessional wrestling podcast covering Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 87, September 25th of 93. And Dutch and Jim Cornette open the show, and there are highlights of the Steiners match at WWF SummerSlam with the Heavenly Bodies. We got a Baby Bonnet match with Candido this week coming up, and we're going to see a video of Bullet Bob versus the mystery opponent. If you remember, after he faced Terry Funk, he was going to face a mystery opponent. So we'll see what's going on there. And after Bullet Bob, also Gibson will face the Dirty White Boy in the Beat the Champ TV title match. So there you go. There's that. Anything I need to add or would you like to add from the opening, Doc?
No, sir.
All right. A side note, I should say, when Corny was picking names from the hat to determine the Beat the Champ TV title challenger.
Took him a couple of times, huh?
No, yeah. It took him six fucking times before he got Dirty White Boy's name. And that's when he figured it out. So there you have it. First match on the card is Bobby Blaze versus Robbie Eagle. Bobby and Robbie adhere to the code of honor at the beginning. Wait, this isn't ROH, my bad. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We do find out during the match, Cornette announces Candido will face Bobby Blaze at the Parade of Champions they have mentioned the last couple weeks on the show. So this is not a long match. Bobby wins with a Northern Lights suplex. Doc, your thoughts on the match at all?
That was a nice Northern Lights suplex to finish, but I wonder what Horner thought about Bobby bridging up for the win.
I know. Hey, what an asshole. Stole his move, hey, huh?
I know. Hey, what pal. The fuck, bro?
Hey, pal. That's my thing. That's what I do.
Bro, you keep doing... Hey, pal. Let me tell you something, pal. You keep doing that, I'm going to hit you with one of these lightning bolts, these foam ones.
When you first came here, I thought it was a joke.
Oh, boy, let's keep going. Harper, anything from the match?
No, it was a nice little solid match.
It's face versus face, so, I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that? Mm-hmm. Chris Candido cuts a promo next. Let's hear from Chris Candido.
Okay, joining me here at the broadcast booth, the WWA World's Heavyweight Champion, the Suicide Blonde, Chris Candido. Now, Chris, you've had some words with Bobby Blaze. You intend to stand by and take it, or what is your plan of action at this point?
Does it tell you my plan of action is to take that lousy, cheap hubcap off his waist that should not be recognized by Smoky Mountain Wrestling? It's not a real championship like mine is a real championship. I'm going to take that belt at the Parade of Champions, and not because I want it. At the Parade of Champions, I'm going to beat Bobby Blaze within an inch of his life, take that belt, and throw it in the river. But then, just as importantly, right here on the show, I'm going to have a match, and I plan on getting this bonnet off my head once and for all.
Oh, I tell you what,
hold on one second. Would you people shut up for a second? I can still hear you breathing. Chris, I tell you what I'm going to do. To make sure you get a fair shake today with this thing on your head, I'm going to be the special referee. I'll be the special referee just to make sure it's fair and square down the middle. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you.
There you heard it. Jimmy Cornette, special referee today on Smoky Mountain. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Good move, Mr. Commissioner. Well, thank you.
Yeah, he's good. I smell some bullshit coming.
Good Harper. Move, Mr. Commissioner.
Harper, what did you think?
With his fucking hubcap belt.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That was glorious. what else, Harper?
Dude, he's going to be a special guest referee.
Yeah, just wait till you see the fucking match.
Yeah.
Good God, help us all. Jeez.
I was going to say something about the match, but I'll just wait till the match starts.
Oh, Black Ninja and Bullet Bob?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Hold on. Doc, anything from Candido's promo?
Throwing that shit in the river, man. It'll rust up.
You're getting ahead of yourself, but... He
said he would throw it in the river in that promo.
I know. I just didn't want you to go too far.
I know.
I love how he called Bobby's title a cheap hubcap when he's carrying around a belt made of dense aluminum foil.
It does look shitty, though. Like, for real.
It is. Seriously, Harper. You've probably seen a few shitty indie belts in your day.
Yes.
And I say this with all due respect to the WWE title and Dennis Coraluzzo and all that good stuff, but... This is perfect for a heel to carry around. Is that not one of the shittiest belts you've ever seen, this belt?
It does look shitty.
It looks like
it's just an old metal belt.
It's a piece of shit, and that's what makes it great. well, it's going to be fun watching Corny help Chris Candido later on in this episode. Hopefully, we'll see where that leads. All right, Harper, you had some thoughts. So we go from what we just saw to or listen to with Candido to Cornette and Dutch, and they throw us to a match with Bullet Bob versus the Black Ninja. Now, as they throw us there, we only see pretty much the end. Cornette gets involved, and he does his corny signature bumps. Harper, you and I talked about this on last episode. When Bullet Bob throws haymakers at Corny, he's flopping around like a fucking dead fish. What else did you have from this match, Harper?
Who's the Black Ninjas?
That's a good question. Very, very good question. So, I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know who it was under the hood. That's a question for Corny, probably next time I have him on. Harper, what else you got from the match?
Man, he was holding his own for a while against fucking two guys, but they got the best of him.
Yeah. Yep. Doc, anything from you?
I'm not a big fan of the whole full body suit.
Yeah.
It just looks kind of goofy to me, the long sleeves, because I'm not used to seeing that. I wonder if they had somebody else in mind that fell through. I don't know. Because this, I mean, not a huge payoff from the surprise piece. Huge payoff that Bob Armstrong is out of here, pal. Gone.
Well, they do that so there's no way that you know who it is.
I know, but it looks goofy.
Yeah, the finish was done that way because you're confused because one black ninja actually comes out while the other black ninja's in the ring, and you know he hits bullet from behind. He hits bullet from behind with some type of gimmick while the referee isn't looking, and then when Mark Curtis turns around, the second black ninja covers Bullet Bob.
Go back and watch that. There was a lot of people cheering when Bob Armstrong ate that pin.
I saw that. That was weird.
Yeah,
I did see it.
What the fuck?
I did see it. It's that goes to show
I didn't
you
get
know
that because I, the black ninjas. I mean, who the fuck is the black ninja? You know. So why would you be fucking? It's not like it's a big name.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like Terry Funk, I could see maybe cheering Terry Funk because it's fucking Terry Funk. He's a, you know, a superstar, but who, you know, the fucking Black Ninja?
Bob Armstrong must have owed those people money.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember, he won the lumberjack tennis racket match, where if he would have lost, they would have got their money back. Maybe they're mad at him because he won. Who knows? All right. After the match, though, Cornette cuts a short promo. And here that is.
So as everybody can see, not only did Terry Funk win the commissionership of Smoky Mountain Wrestling for me by beating Bob Armstrong, but then my secret weapon eliminated Bob Armstrong completely from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Everybody thought when they saw that secret weapon, they said, Jim Cornette's crazy. But I proved that I was crazy like a fox. I know you didn't, Dutch, because you got faith in me. And now Bullet Bob Armstrong is back at the Jiffy Lube in Marietta, back at the Exxon station on the corner in some part of Jerkwater, Georgia, with his sons pumping gas and lubing cars and sweeping out people's toilets and doing manual labor like that instead of bothering people in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He's gone, and he's gone for good, and I can't wait to see the look on all these redneck morons' faces around the area when they realize that their hero, their savior, their idol, the great Bullet Bob Armstrong, ain't coming back because Jim Cornette eliminated him from the picture. Right, Dutch?
Absolutely. Don't go away, fans. We'll be right back with more of us because we can come back.
Yeah,
right?
We can come back anytime we want to, but he can't.
All teeth and gums at that point. Doc, any thoughts on that?
He won. Closed down the Fed.
I ain't gonna say all
that. It's over. It's over, man. Stories at the end. Stories all wrapped up. The end.
All right. Any other thoughts, Doc?
No, that was good.
Hopper, anything from you on that?
They won, man. Fuck y'all.
Yeah. After that was a local promo.
Mm.
Scott and Ricky Morton. I wasn't going to play it.
Nah.
Good. Dang. Scott looks like pure trash. And then he looks like what I said about Fuller. He looks like a guy from Cops. He looks like a guy from Cops that's about to go to jail for getting drunk and fucking beating up his old lady because she took one of his fucking cigarettes.
I'm trying not to laugh too hard because it hurts my
stomach. But it's true.
That's why I'm laughing.
Fuck.
Sorry, Scott.
I can picture him in fucking handcuffs leaning over a fucking Crown Victoria and be like, I ain't did nothing.
Scott, if you're listening, it's all in entertainment. It's all for fun. Nobody's saying that. We're just saying what your outfit looked like that day in 1993. Oh boy. Well, there you go. That was actually Harper's thoughts on that was better than the actual promo.
Sure was.
But there you go. Okay, so remember, we're in this deal now with the fucking Steiner brothers and Cornette. So with all that said, Cornette in the Heavenly Bodies cut a promo right now, and let's give it a listen to what's going on. Here it is.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined here by Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, and I think everybody needs to stand up and give them a big round of applause right here. Thank you, Jimmy, for being here with me.
Let me ask everybody a question. What time is it? It's time to see how the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott Steiner, ripped us off at SummerSlam. I finally convinced those stingy, tight WWF officials to let loose of a piece of the videotape. They were ashamed and embarrassed to have the people around here see how we got ripped off in Detroit, so they didn't want to let go of the tape. But finally, I got a copy of it. So I want you to roll that videotape right now. Steiners and Heavenly Bodies from SummerSlam in Detroit, Michigan. And I got some things to say after it finishes.
Thus far.
Okay,
hold
so,
on. Whose voice was that?
Hey.
Oh, look at this.
Well, so did oh. Heavenly Bodies at the beginning.
I said, well, I was going to point that out.
That's what I meant.
Hold on. Here it comes.
Off the rope now. Pritchard over.
Come on, Bobby, where are you at?
Detroit as well. There's only one thing left, and that's to give one to Jim Cornette. Off the rope. Oh, look at that. Uh-oh. What a team. What a team. Cleverly done by the Heavenly Bodies.
All right, so, yeah, I was going to point that out, but go ahead, Doc. Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, man, Bobby Heenan, Vince McMahon. This is surreal to tune into Smoky Mountain Wrestling and hear Vince McMahon's voice. And let me point out this. I'm going to poke some fun here, but it'll come back to me too. What's the percentage of people in this viewing audience that this is the first pay-per-view footage they've ever seen?
Dude, I was thinking the same thing because, I mean, these people probably don't even have fucking cable to watch Raw.
I mean, I had never gotten a pay-per-view by 1993.
I had only seen a couple of VHS tapes of pay-per-views by this point. I want to say I had, well, that's not true. I had seen a couple, but it was because of a friend who had the illegal cable box. I mean, just
hey,
oh yeah, dude, a friend of mine had one. We used to watch all these things in the fucking Spice Channel.
So this is a sideways titties. This is a squiggle
titties. Sideways
squiggle
titties.
Squiggle nip.
This isn't sideways titties. Like what Harper's saying is they actually saw the titties and would jerk off while they watched it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, together? Oh, no.
Well, you know, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. Just close your eyes.
The Wonder Bread Challenge.
Bruh.
What's that?
Where everybody jerks off on a piece of bread and the one that's last has to eat.
Oh,
it.
God.
That's gross. Christ.
What's wrong
dude.
With you?
Dude, I had a friend who, his uncle, God, this old man was a fucking pervert. This Jesus Christ. We were by my buddy's house, and his uncle comes over one time, and he was talking about when him and his friends were old. Now, this man's like probably like 80 years old now. So this is, he would tell these stories about, they would get, him and his friends would get these dirty magazines, you know, because that's how you fucking jerked off back in the day before you had free porn. Available to you 24/7, and they would jerk off looking at the magazines, and they would race to see who could get it first. I'm like, y'all are some sick bastards. Jesus Christ.
God,
you nasty motherfuckers.
What the fuck?
God damn.
I may have that wrong. Urban Dictionary says bread challenge is to try to eat two slices of white bread under 2 minutes without drinking anything.
Okay.
That's different than what I thought it was.
That's much
cleaner. Why did I think what I thought?
I don't, because you probably did what you thought.
No,
once or twice, and maybe you had to be the one who ate the bread full of jizzy mayonnaise. I don't know.
That's gross.
That's just disgusting.
Why would you think of something like that?
Keep going. They said get more unprofessional. I don't know, man. So they
right.
Have it.
So back to the story here.
Please,
we have Vince and Bobby the Brain and Heenan calling a match with on SMW TV from a pay per view. Man, this is huge. Did you see when Jimmy Del Rey went for the poon salt? Vince loved it. What a maneuver!
Yeah.
Yes. I popped each and every time Vince uttered the name Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey.
Yes.
He's a what? A gigolo.
God damn, pal.
That's great. The other thing here, WWF is not in the business, nor have they really ever been, of mentioning other people's promotions.
Yeah.
And so to hear Smoky Mountain Wrestling up in a northern promotion in a Detroit pay-per-view, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Scott Steiner put a sloppy powerbomb on Dr. Tom there towards the end. And at the end of the day, for all the awesomeness this was, Dr. Tom and Gigolo went up there into hostile territory and foreign territory and held their own with the 1993 Steiners. And that's awesome. They did not look like the little bumpkin team from Smoky Mountain. They look like a WWF level team. And that's really awesome for them and the promotion.
Yeah. This was good. Harper, do you have anything from it?
That was great to hear Bobby Heenan's voice.
He said during the match, it was a line he pointed out. He said, the heavenly bodies get more dates than a calendar.
Yeah, that was great.
As Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey sucks titties through that missing tooth that he's got.
Oh, God. Yeah. You can feel what? It. You can feel a nipple.
Pal, where's your fucking tooth?
Goddamn, pal. Want to see the dentist? Dentist can
it's
fix
in
that
Forest
for you.
Town.
We'll take you to Isaac Yankum.
Fucking Vince. I like the false finish, though, where Dr. Tom used Corny's racket and Rick Steiner still kicked out.
Yeah.
And then Del Rey.
That racket, and I was like, are they getting ready to win?
Yeah, yeah. And then Del Rey accidentally hits his own partner with the poon salt.
I can't tell you. I don't mean to go the other way on this, but I can't tell you what a mind fuck it was for me in the early 90s when I would still watch every once in a while to see Scott Steiner do a Frankensteiner.
Yeah, I know, huh?
That was huge back then.
And it's nice and crisp.
It is. And just, I mean, it was like, it was almost like the Canadian Destroyer from Petey Williams. It's like, did I just see what I thought I saw?
That Holy was because it was a big move from coming from a big man. He got bigger, but I mean, that was a big move coming from him back then. I remember first time I saw it, I was like, what the fuck did I just see?
Right. Those Steiners were over in the early 90s.
Yeah.
They really were. Well, speaking of how over they were, Scott Steiner did hit Del Rey with the Frankensteiner, and they got the win there at SummerSlam in 93. The Heavenly Bodies on SummerSlam, yes. Well, we go from that to Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. He's going to cut a promo, and he's going to give some excuses as to why the Heavenly Bodies lost at SummerSlam. Here it is.
To say about it now, how did you cheat us? Let me count the ways. First of all, they had a hometown advantage, Detroit, Michigan. Oh, everybody knows the Steiners are from Detroit. Everybody knows the people in Michigan are mentally defective, just like these idiots here. Secondly, they had a referee from Detroit who was obviously swayed by the fact that the Steiners were wearing the colors of Michigan, one of which is yellow. Then they had 20,000 fans there screaming their lungs out so that the boys couldn't hear my signals. And finally, watch that last piece of that match. Both Steiners made the cover to pin Jimmy Del Rey, and the referee counted it anyway. But we did not lay back. We didn't take it. We didn't leave it sit there. No, we jumped in on another WWF TV taping, and we gave the Steiner brothers a little taste of what the Heavenly Bodies can do, and I want you to see that piece of videotape.
So they actually throw it right there to what we talked about last week, Harper, where they jumped the Steiners and stole the belts. But Harper, what did you have from the promo right there from Corny and the Heavenly Bodies?
He just pointed out the truth, man. They were in their fucking hometown, bro. Fuck that shit. It wasn't fair.
I love when he said there were 20,000 fans there, so the Heavenly Bodies couldn't hear his messages and help from the outside. Like, come on, motherfucker. That's great heel shtick. Doc, what did you have?
Well, they've been ripped off.
Yeah.
And the only way to fix this, I think, is for the Steiners to get off their home turf and come do something about it somewhere else.
Come into hostile territory in the Smoky Mountains.
Let's see what you can do coming here, pal.
Yeah. So, with that mentioned, let's now hear from the Steiner brothers again. We heard from them last week. We're going to hear from them again right here.
What we did to you in Detroit, our hometown in SummerSlam, is just a small taste of what we're going to do to you down in Smoky Mountain. Because Jim Cornette, I still have those welts in my back. And I just had to take that powder out of my eyes. So when we get down there, we're going out for blood. Cornette, you got a thing with the racket. Well, I tell you what, get in the dog pound and find out what a real mad dog can do when he gets a hold of you, Cornette. Wait and find out. Jim Cornette, I'm going to use that racket on you.
All right, Doc, thoughts on the Steiners right there? It's very similar to last week, but, you know.
Yeah, last week was better.
Well, he hits the hoo-hoo-hoo at the end. Yeah. And they're talking about the dog and stuff. But, Doc, any thoughts?
They're coming, man, and I want to see this.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Yeah.
Harper says that all the time. I want to see this. I want to see this.
Yeah. Well, you will see it. I explained to Harper last week, this will be televised. We will see, maybe not the whole thing, but we see a good bit of it.
This could sell out the fucking Louisville Gardens.
Well, we will see. All right, so we keep going.
Remember, Arn Anderson came into 300 people in a high school gym. So.
Right.
The same night Wing Kanemura got fucking.
You're obsessed with that.
You're obsessed
with him getting his arm cut off.
Dude, it's amazing. That's still one of the moments. That's a classic moment from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And you don't tell me shit about that, because I remember the first time you saw it, you came to work here, bruh, Kevin Sullivan just fucking made a Japanese man sushi. You were like,
that's not what I said.
That's what you said. Play fucking babyface now, motherfucker. You came to work was like, bruh, that shit, bro. They talk about ECW doing crazy shit. Bro, Kevin Sullivan sliced this man's arm off.
That might have been the same day where I said I had the idea. Maybe we should do a show.
Might have
about
been.
This show. Because you wanted to do, this is why we don't let you have ideas. Your original idea, do you remember what it was for our second show?
We talked about doing a show on how pro sports is a work.
Right. You wanted to do a Monday morning football show where we pointed out all the works from Sunday.
That wouldn't have been a bad idea, actually. I mean...
Well, it's not Smoky Mountain, though, pal. I had to come out and clean that up.
Well, I mean, something like that, though, I don't think you could do weekly. You probably could do, like, one show a month where you'd be like, remember that game? Yeah, man, look at all this shit all went down. That shit was a work. Yeah, but whatever. So, fuck you. Let's keep going. You're a fart. Yeah, said it again. Let's hear now from after the Steiners promo footage. We get Jim Cornette. He answered. He's got something to say to the Steiners here. Here it is.
Now you see the Steiner brothers were left laying face down, flat of their faces in the ring. They were beaten up, broken, and disgusted. And now they say they're coming now to Smoky Mountain Wrestling at the Parade of Champions to get some revenge. Well, as you saw in the last little piece of that videotape, we took their belts. Of course, the WWF caught us at the back door, made us hand them over, said they'd call the cops because we stole something. Yeah, that's real selective thinking about stealing things. But then the very next match that the Steiner brothers wrestled, they lost the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team title because we took so much out of them, because the Heavenly Bodies beat them up so bad. They had their minds on the Heavenly Bodies. They couldn't think about anything else. They lost their belts. They blame us. And now they're coming down to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Well, it's a Parade of Champions in October. Steiner Brothers, you're going to find out that anything can happen in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You're not going to be nambied and pambied and coddled like you are up there in the bright lights in the big city. It's rough down here. And we know that all the fans are universally all across the country behind you, whether it be Michigan or Tennessee or anywhere else. We realize that. But, brother, I got news for you. We don't care what the fans think and never have. So you come on down to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The only thing that I'm upset about, like I've said before, is that mangy, flea-infested, disease-ridden pit bull Arnold that you're planning on bringing to the ring. But I guarantee you this, Steiner Brothers, one of these guys is going to take that pit bull and defang it once and for all at the Parade of Champions. It's going to take place, Dutch.
Okay, Steiners, when you step in here, you're going to step into a hornet's nest. We'll be right back, fans. Don't go away.
Hubbard, this is the promo where
this is
Time
it.
And Del Rey are mimicking that they're killing a dog.
This
as
is great.
Corey's talking. This really was good. Harper, go ahead. You talked about this a second ago.
Yeah, dude. When they mimic him fucking kicking the dog. When it's like, come here. Get the fuck away from me, motherfucker. That shit's fucking hilarious.
Oh, boy. Harper, anything else from that?
That's fucking great.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yes.
Doc, anything from you?
I don't like the dog angle for them, for the Steiners, having a dog. Why do they need a dog? It's silly.
Because he's a dog for his grandma.
Right. Yeah. Do you two know who the Steiners lost their belts to?
Oh, we talked about that before you did this last week, so yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah. We actually went through the... Because actually, Harper remembered it, but without looking it up, he was like, I think they lost them to these people. And then he starts talking about all the other tag teams that were there at the time. I was like, shit, I don't remember that. And yeah, we talked about it. But what else you got, Doc?
Well, it's tough and rough down here, pal. Bring y'all's northern asses down here and figure out how to live on food stamps and dirty rats.
Oh, I thought you were about to say meth and really... Kick the people there.
I'd say dirty pussy's worse than meth.
Well, you know, I almost was going to say dirty pussy can't kill you, but that's a fucking lie.
Whoa.
Dirty pussy can kill you. Meth can kill you too, so shit. Well, all right, let's keep going. Cause that wasn't very classy of me. So after that, all that goes down, good stuff. We get another Parade of Champions plug. I'm not going to go through that now. We will touch on that when it happens. Doc, do you have anything about the Parade of Champions at this point?
Do you know who the song was?
Take a wild fucking guess.
Okay. I don't remember which one that was. There's two.
It was Aerosmith, right?
Yeah, it's called Draw the Line. It's one of my favorite Aerosmith songs. That's a good song, dude.
Yeah, that's a great song. I agree. One of my favorite Aerosmith songs, too. You don't like that humor?
Well, we're not exactly talking about some obscure band here.
I know.
They're a band that is generally known and accepted by people.
You know what that means to me?
What?
Absolutely nothing.
That's nice.
You're just over there singing Bones, Thugs, and Harmony.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, pretty much.
No reparations for you.
Well, that's real classy to say. We shall keep going. After the Parade of Champions plug, we got the Dark Secret versus Chris Candido. If Candido wins, he can remove the baby bonnet. Jim Cornette is the special referee. How the hell Corny is out there in his heat in this gym with that jacket on refereeing is beyond me. But I'll leave that alone. Because I have noticed Dutch has shed his tuxedo coat because I'm sure it's hotter than, you know, Panther piss in this gym in September still in Smoky Mountain. I mean, I know it's September and we're not in the midst of the summer, but fuck, man, it's still probably hot there. I bet you if you searched on like weather.com, it's still pretty hot. So anyway, that said, the match is, you know, Mr. Personality Tim Horner shows up on commentary for the match. But the match is a joke. It's not a match. I mean, Candido and Dark Secret are moving at, I wanted to say half speed, but it's not even half speed. It's like 0.1 speed. Corny basically guaranteed a win by Candido, and Candido wins. Doc, thoughts on the match?
I don't know why. I just didn't know that this was all needed to do it this way. I don't know. It seemed like it went a bit far here to get him a win when he was winning earlier. I don't know.
Well, you got to remember, last week he was kind of fucked out of a win, too. Well, he wasn't fucked out of it. Horner came out and screwed with him, and he starts chasing Horner around the ring. So, you know, that's how he loses because he's counted out.
Yeah.
So I'm actually fine with that because, which got a lot, which made him look like a stupid heel, which was fine. This is just another angle to make him look like a pussy because think about it, Harper, you know, as you watch this, he now needs Cornette to guarantee him a win. As good as he's been, because Horner's fucking with him, now he needs Corny. So that's why I liked it. I mean, think about it. How many more ways can you have him lose a match? Horner came out there and caused the DQ the first time. Now Horner comes out and fucks with him with his belt and his boa, and he chases Horner around the ring and gets counted out. So you've already done this 2 weeks in a row, or, you know, for two times. Let's make it even worse. Now we're going to make this match a farce, and, you know, he's going to win. I was fine with it.
I'm surprised they didn't start booing.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. Good point. Good point. What? Anything else, Harper, that you had from it?
I was surprised they didn't fucking start booing. And I mean, like you said, they fucking ran out of fucking ideas for him to lose without, you know, getting pinned.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. He's got to move on from this baby bonnet thing because they're running up him and Bobby Blaze, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that part. Him and Horner, Doc, you have a better memory for these things than me. I mean, what are they, 8 weeks into farting around in their feud?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's a while. So now he's moving on to Bobby because remember, it's like they're transitioning. So they wanted to get out of that. They pretty much kind of get out of it. At least, I don't say all the way, but they're starting to get out of it with the TV episodes. And now Candido is going to move on to Bobby with what they're going to do at Parade of Champions. So, okay. Anything else from the match, Harper?
No.
Doc?
No.
We will move on now to Chris Candido. After the match, he's got something to say, and here it is.
Hey, wait a minute now. Tim Horner, let me say, that was the toughest wrestling match of Chris Candido's career, but he finally got that bonnet off his head. If you touch me, I'll fine you $50,000.
I told you. I'd gladly pay the $50,000.
Whoa. I told him, Mr. Commissioner. That was a legitimate match. There wasn't nothing wrong with it, and Chris Candido won, and he got that baby bonnet off his head.
You obviously set it up, and you were probably behind it.
Wait a minute.
What are you doing here?
Let me interrupt just a moment. Dutch, I'm here on behalf of the board of directors of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. They say that the television tapings can't continue like this, and I have some special correspondence here for Mr. Jim Cornette.
You've been promoted.
Have I been promoted? How can you get any hired commissioner? Have I been president, maybe? Hold on, let's see here. Dutch, help me read this, if you will.
We'll read this.
I was board of directors, Jim Cornette.
Impeached! How can they impeach me? They can't.
No!
I'm the boss.
I can't be impeached.
I'm the boss.
No.
Kill somebody.
No. No.
Hey, Jason, shut up. Leave it alone. We'll be right back. We got to check this out. Jimmy, that letter say anything about me?
Yeah. Dutch is worried about himself. He's all about self-preservation at that point. Let me say what I gotta say first, and then I'll throw it to you, Harper. Candido's given an Oscar performance, acting like he's tired and huffing and puffing when we just saw a match where he did absolutely nothing. I thought that was great. And when Corny told Horner he was gonna fine him $50,000, I wish Cornette would have said, if you lay a hand on me, I'm taking the fax machine from you. But
dude,
you know,
how many people you think are going to show up? They're going to go to Goodwill and get some old dinosaur brother fax machine and fucking show up?
No, I think we need to tell Doc what you're talking about. Do you want to explain it to him? Cause he's not on he's not on the Facebook mothership page. He doesn't have Facebook.
Oh,
so
shit.
Horner is going to be at WrestleCade this year.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And so this was posted on the mothership Facebook page that he's going to be on there, and the comments that ensued after was someone should bring a fax machine so he can sign it.
Hmm.
Do you think he'd get the joke?
No.
No.
Because he doesn't listen to Corny's shows, probably.
Mm-mm. No.
So he wouldn't even know what that's about.
I think that would fly right by him.
It would right over his head. Now, at the same time, Philip Allen also posted on my page a list of questions he was going to ask Horner. He said he was gone. He said, I'm gone, and I'm going to ask the following questions. Who's Pam Lawson? Doc, you remember who Pam Lawson was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was his, the girl they hired.
That was the girl he was allegedly banging on the side.
Oh, come on.
I said allegedly. Tim, if you ever want to come on the show, I'd be glad to have you. Why did you wave the flag when he waved the flag in a Coward Waves a Flag match? Why didn't you win the belt even once? I think Philip Allen is referring to the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title as someone's breathing into their mic. Philip Allen wants to know, where's the fax machine, dude? Philip Allen wants to know, how come you never bled? If you recall, Cornette had said that Tim said his wife told him he couldn't get any color. And then the last thing he said was to ask Cornette or ask Tim, why did Cornette fire you? And that was that. So there you have it. I thought that was all some good shit.
He'll never get all of those in. Horner will walk away from him before he gets them all in.
Yeah.
Philip Allen, Hall of Fame patron member. There you go. So where were we at with this thing? Oh, I was making a joke about Horner saying he'd fine him by taking his fax machine from him. Doc, what did you have from this?
Man, that was quick on the impeachment.
Dude, an episode and a half, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were tired of his crap quick down at the board of directors.
Sandy Scott and them said, fuck you.
And the best part of all of it was Dutch, like, going to self-preservation mode quickly.
Oh, and it gets worse. He starts blowing Les Thatcher on commentary now.
Wait, what? Say that again?
He doesn't blow him, but he's kissing his ass on commentary. Once Jimmy's gone, Dutch goes into, oh, Les, it's good to be working with you. Thank you very much, man. I didn't really like working with Cornette anyway. And by the way, Les, where's Bob Caudill at? Because I kind of miss Bob. I mean, just complete, just you know what a heel does. But anyway, Hopper, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love how he's just like, wait. What did it say about me?
Okay, this is good. All right, so Doc, anything else before we keep going?
Mm-mm.
Hopper?
No.
All right, so up next, though, is Down and Dirty with Dutch. And first, Sherry Martel. And then it's followed by Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch and Ron Wright. Now, I'm going to play Sherry first. So bear with me as I get the timestamp loaded. Here's Sherry first. Or Dutch throwing it to Sherry.
Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. I'm still here right now, but I don't know for how long. But right now, before I get my special guest back here, let's take his special comments. Let's hear some special comments from sensational Sherry Martel.
You know, Tammy Fitch, they say you went to Wellesley College, and they say that you've been known to interfere a little bit with Mr. Brian Lee, and where his matches are concerned, saying that you give him some type of glove. Well, I myself have been known to wear a few gloves, Tammy. And you know what happens when the 4th of July comes about and New Year's come about all in one night? Well, that's what's going to happen when I see you at the Parade of Champions, Tammy Fitch, because once I show you what wrestling's all about, the only damn thing you're going to want to do is go back to your little books and putting on your little bras, putting on your little stuff all over your derriere, strutting it around the ring, because when I get finished with you, you're not going to have anything left to strut. You're not going to bother anybody in Smoky Mountain Wrestling anymore, and I can go back to New Orleans again.
Do y'all want to address what Sherry said first?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Doc.
Well, I wanted her to say, like a cloud here.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, I she might have been putting down more than that cigarette to cut this promo. The first part was, I don't know, but man, she said you're a trophy wife. You ain't a wrestler, and I'm gonna show you how.
She told her she's gonna send her back to her books and putting on her little bra and covering her little ass.
Yep.
Wow. Sherry means business. Harper, what did you have?
Yeah, Sherry's gonna. I want to see her beat the shit out of her,
bruh. Tammy, it's on the patron episode. I found a clip of the soundbite. It's on. So if you want to become a patron, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. I'll tell you what she said, but I can't do it justice. Tammy said that Sherry got a hold of her and she was scared shitless. Because she didn't know that Sherry was going to grab her during this match. Cause they're not actually having a match. Sherry's just going to be outside the ring in Tracy's corner. And Sherry and Tammy is outside the ring in Brian's corner, in Primetime Brian Lee's corner. So it's not a match. You got to remember, Tammy is not a trained wrestler at this point. I mean, I don't know if she ever truly, well, she did get wrestling training, obviously, at some point, because she does end up working some matches. But at this point, she's just out there talking. I mean, she's not a wrestler. But Sherry gets a hold of Tammy at the end of this match, and Tammy says on an old interview she did with JR, she was scared shitless because she started beating the shit out of her.
Because I remember, God, I forgot who I talked to that was around back then, but they told me that when she managed Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels would work with like an older veteran guy that saw him as some young punk asshole, you know, taking a spot, they would kind of rough him around a little bit. And when that guy got outside the ring, she would beat the shit out of him.
I get the feeling Sherry Sherry just didn't fuck around. Like, she seemed to be real. That's what I feel when I watch her.
I mean, she was from the Mid-South days, right?
Well, no, she wasn't. Not if you're talking 81 through 85 Mid-South, no.
Yeah.
But I mean, she came up in an era where it was rough. You know,
was one of Mueller's girls, right?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm not sure about that. Someone out there will tell me, but I don't. Let me look. Well, you hit. I don't remember Sherry being in Mid-South. What the fuck? It says Martel began her professional wrestling career in the Mid-South after training in Columbia, South Carolina. I do not recall that. I don't recall her being in Mid-South actually doing a lot of stuff there.
I thought you were a wrestling historian that specialized in Mid-South.
Yeah,
pal.
What a prick. You see?
Hold on one second.
Jeez. You and your fucking podcast. You say, God.
No. Hold on. Early professional wrestling career, 1974 through 85. I don't remember Sherry being on a fucking Mid-South television.
You should get kicked off that podcast.
Maybe T.R. Shrock will do it.
Yeah. Oh, in 1974, Martel approached Grizzly Smith for advice on becoming a wrestler, but he questioned her conviction and told her to come back to him in 5 years when she was an adult. Wow. Grizzly Smith. That's a...
Well, he usually didn't wait for that.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Doc. Good
Lord. It's well documented.
Right.
Well, yeah. Let's see. She did train at Moolah's school, where Moolah changed her name to Sherry Martel and sent her to wrestle in Japan in 1981. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, her main... No. See, it says after...
Nobody cares. This is
she eventually debuted in the AWA, and on September 28, 1985, at Superclash in Chicago, she defeated Candy Devine for the AWA World Women's Championship. So, I don't mean if she did make random appearances in Mid-South. It's been a long time since I've watched a bunch of those, all of those episodes in line, but here's talking about AWA. Anyway, all right, let's keep going. So, Harper, any other thoughts on Sherry here?
She's ready to fuck her up.
Ooh, she's going to... It's going to be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Let's play the rest of Down and Dirty now, where we get Ron Wright out there with Tammy and Primetime Brian Lee.
Okay, I got my special guest out here now. You heard what sensational Sherry Martel says. I'm nervous right now. Your comments right now.
You know, Sensational Sherry is nothing but an ex-convict, reform school girl. Tracy Smothers has less hair on his legs than Sherry does. She's like a gorilla. She's not a lady. She's a man. She's a truck driver. And I hate Tracy Smothers. I hope he gets in an accident and he gets decapitated and his head rolls down the road and a truck flattens it out.
I tell you what, baby, don't worry about an accident, because next time Tracy Smothers steps in the ring with me, it's going to be the biggest accident of his life.
Okay, but I know the fans, what they want to know, how is Ron Wright? Ron, how are you?
Well, I'm a feeling.
Ron is just fine. Can't you tell? He looks healthy. He's getting his medication on time. And he's just happy, aren't you, Tiger?
Yeah, but I wonder how Dirty White Boy is. I hadn't seen him in a while. Aww.
Don't worry about Dirty White Boy. He's doing fine. Come on. It's time to go read now.
Okay, fans, there we heard it from Tammy Fitz, Primetime Brian Lee, and Ron Wright. Don't go away.
Does Ron Wright look like he's interested in reading? Jesus.
I feel bad. He's sad. He misses his old guy, man. This is making me sad.
Yeah, this is very sad, actually. Doc, what did you have from this, besides the fact that it made you sad?
Well, she called her a gorilla.
Wow.
And dude, she said she hoped Tracy Smothers got in an accident and got decapitated and somebody ran over his head.
Yeah, but you just say whatever the fuck you wanted back then.
That's pretty stiff.
Yeah, she just basically said she hopes he dies.
Right.
In the worst way possible. She hopes that he's mutilated.
Right.
Good God. Okay. Hopper, any thoughts from you?
Dude, she's so believable as her character, as some little fucking rich bitch. Isn't she? I mean, I can picture her driving, you know, the little convertible fucking Cavalier or some bullshit that her fucking dad bought her when she graduated fucking high school, and she thinks her shit doesn't fucking stink. She probably has a cell phone, which is a big deal back then.
Hopper's and she's like the perfect little rich bitch.
I mean, I can picture this fucking bitch from fucking back then going to fucking TJ's and fucking mannequins. Uptown.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm in Tulane pre-law. Fuck you. I just picture it.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Well, she has said that, you know, when she was there, her dad was still sending her money, paying the credit card bills. She admitted that on JR's podcast years ago. So it ain't a stretch for real? The character. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. If you, again, and I'm not trying to do this, but I clipped a couple of sound bites from it and threw it up on the patron side. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. She talks about that. She talks about when she first comes into Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but it's because I did a review of the podcast, and she talks about that, where her dad was still paying her, you know, her credit card bills and whatnot, and she was, you know, she kind of was like a little rich girl. Yeah, just doing her thing. I mean, she wasn't as bad as what you made it sound, Harper, when she said she's the perfect rich bitch. But she kind of admits to it. Doc, do you have anything else from this?
She better get all her little lines in now, because she's going to die soon.
Sherry means business.
Sherry's going to get her, dude.
We'll keep going. Here is Tracy Smothers now. He's going to respond to everything that just went down there.
I'm Les Thatcher, and I'm going to be here for a while. How long, I don't know either. Dutch Mantel will be joining me in just a moment. But with me right now, that wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers. And Tracy, for that big parade of champions, like you've got a fail-safe in Sensational Sherry.
That's exactly right. You know something, Les? I saw all that bunch out there, all that riff-raff last week. Looked like they's pretty tongue-tied to me. Didn't know which one was going to grab the mic. And they's out here a while ago. They didn't sound too much better. You know why? Because Primetime and Tammy Witch, you're real worried, because I got Sensational Sherry Martel. That's right. All these people know her. She's known worldwide. She wrote the book on Dirty Deeds. And Tammy Witch, you come out here and you talk about these Southern girls. Well, these little Southern girls got more class in their pinky than you've got in your whole stinking body. Now I know Sherry's going to take care of Tammy Witch and Brian. I taught you everything you know. but I didn't teach you everything I know. And as for you, dirty white boy, I don't give 2 cents about your troubles or Ron Wright's troubles or the whole lot of you. All I'm concerned with is getting the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship back where it belongs, and that's around my waist.
Tracy, good luck to you. You've heard from Tracy Smothers. Let's throw it to the ring and ready for our next match.
Doc, thoughts on Tracy there?
I love the line, I taught you everything you know, but not everything I know.
Yeah, it's one of them old ones.
Yeah, that's an old one,
but it always works.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Bro, he's just like, y'all are some dirty trash. I saw y'all out here. He sees it.
He basically told us that the Smoky Mountain broads are classy broads.
Right.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Well, he's got to run into him down at the Super 8 and try to, you know,
shoot
a rope in one of them. So he got to, like, do a little groundwork here.
Yeah.
You know, last week's show, I say last week, it's actually a few weeks back, I posted the show to the Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, and go like it while I'm saying that. And fucking Tracy Smothers shared it on his page. It was the first one. It was the one that I did, I think it was episode 82, where Boss Man is on the profile pic of it. And he said, you know, rest in peace, Ray. But he shared it to his Facebook page because I tagged him in it. But, yeah, I laugh because, Harper, I've been thinking about sometimes, next time you see Tracy, I'm wondering if you're going to whip out your Trapper Keeper and be like, Tracy, so we've been going through episodes, you know, 82, 83, 84. Yeah, I want to ask you about this, and I want to ask you about that. Is Tracy, you know, is standing there taking a piss.
No, fuck it. How many Waffle House waitresses you think fucking Tracy Smothers ran through back then?
You see him more than us. Why don't you ask him? Hoffer, ask him next time you see him. Tracy, how much pussy did you get in Smoky Mountain? We've been trying to figure that out.
That's a good question. I want to ask him that shit.
I've heard he ran through a good bit while he was there.
God, I bet he did. God, he must have been. He was probably like Brad Pitt to these fucking women.
Doc, any other thoughts on this promo before we move on?
No.
All right. As we go on from Brad Pitt, a.k.a. Tracy Smothers' promo, we go to the next match. It's Gator McAllister and Jason West versus the Bruise Brothers. I don't have anything from the match, but I do have this that I want to play.
Be a pretty decent match.
I think it ought to be a barn burner. You know, you mentioned Bob Caudle just a moment ago, and I want to mention this. Bob is now vacationing in Europe.
Oh,
but
really?
Yes, but he has been rehired by Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
I like him a lot.
And he will be back in a few weeks.
Oh, good. I really wish him back. I missed him a lot. I hated working out here with Cornette. You know,
it seems to be a different tune you're singing, Dutch.
Oh, no. Cornette was a commissioner, and I just didn't want to make weight. Hit low. Double boot
double
by
kick.
The Bruise Brothers. Down. Both men go. Double count. Double pin. Double win.
All right. I love Dutch when he changes his tune. It's so perfect. Doc, did you have a note about that, or now that you're here?
Of course. Bob's in Europe, dude.
Yeah. He's fucking living it up.
Can you see Bob, like, on the French Riviera in, like, a Speedo just strutting down the beach?
Sure.
Well, actually, Dutch is awesome here.
He really is. He really is. He's very good in this role. I love how he flip-flops, and it's fantastic. What else you got, Doc?
Man, that's about it. But, you know, there's going to come a time when Dutch and Bob are not our announced team. And so,
yeah,
enjoy it.
It's a shock to the system when it happens.
It is.
It's a shock. But on Dutch here, this is so great. I was just going along with Cornette. I didn't want to make no waves.
Man, you know, pin me, pay me, pal.
Yeah, and then he's, you know, he gives Bob Caudle so much shit, and he's like, oh, I miss Bob, you know. Oh, he'll be back
great,
soon. Oh, great man.
Guy.
I can't wait. Great guy. A fantastic person. Just beautiful stuff. Harper, what did you have from it?
I wonder what part of Europe he was in. I mean, I want to see some pictures of him, like, posing in front of like, the Eiffel Tower. And he's on like, the little boats in fucking Venice with the little Italian guy. He's in, you know, with the little hat on, and there's Bob waving at the fucking camera. I want to see shit like that.
Yeah. He was in Europe, North Carolina.
Yeah, he was at home sitting in his lazy boy, relaxing. Oh boy. But you know, the Bruce Brothers win there. There's a Bruce Brothers promo after the match. It's really nothing special.
Nope.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna do, because the local promo actually after it is really, I say really good, but I was gonna play that.
Do it.
Yes, here it is. Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy.
You're going to see for the heavyweight title, Primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Fitch taking on Tracy Smothers with Sensational Sherry Martel.
You know, I can't stand Sherry Martel, but she'll fit in just fine with all those yucky Eastern Kentucky women. She's got a foul mouth and ugly face and more hair on her legs than a gorilla. Brian, please don't let her hurt me.
Darling, she won't put a hand on you. I'll tell you what, Tracy Smothers, you're hiding behind a woman, and you come out and tell Primetime Brian Lee he's hiding behind a woman, and you have nerve enough to call her a tramp. Well, I'll tell you what you need to do is go get you some glasses and find a real woman and see what a real woman looks like and quit lusting over mine. In Kentucky, Tracy Smothers, I'm taking you out once and for all.
Watch out, Bluegrass State. It's the Parade of Champions. You're going to see a grudge tag match. The Heavenly Bodies with Jim Cornette taking on the Steiners with their pit bull, Arnold.
Whether it's Hazard, Kentucky on October the 7th or Barberville on October the 9th, let me guarantee you something, Steiner brothers. You bring that rabid, flea-bitten dog of yours, Arnold, that pit bull. You bring him to ringside. He ain't going to bite me. I got something for Arnold. And then the Heavenly Bodies got something for you, Rick and Scott Steiner. Big World Wrestling Federation stars. You lost those belts because of the Heavenly Bodies. When you come to Kentucky, you're going to lose a lot more than your belts.
Okay, Doc, what do you think?
Well, they can't win the belts. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
So for them to be able to say they cost them the belt is about as far as they can go, which is good.
Yeah.
Please don't let them hurt me, Brian. That's a great line.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought so too. I thought that was a great line. Harper, what'd you have from it?
I like that line. I like what Doc said. Please don't let her hurt me, Brian.
Yeah, man.
and how she says she fits right in with those women in Kentucky.
Yeah, she basically said you fit in perfectly with these mountain broads. She's got a foul mouth, an ugly face, and more hair on her legs than a gorilla.
That's nice.
That is so classy from Tammy right there. Shit. Oh boy, that was so good. Yeah, Harper, anything else?
It's fucking great. But Tammy's great. And fucking. If fucking Brian Lee's just such a fucking douchebag. He's like the douchebag boyfriend with the Camaro.
Yes. He's the douchebag boyfriend with the Camaro that just swears his shit doesn't stink.
Uh-huh.
It's exactly what it is. Exactly.
And he peaked in fucking high school.
Yes.
Wow. He peaked in high school. I agree. Okay, so we go from that to, that's actually the last promo of the show, because what happens at the end of the show is we got Dirty White Boy versus Robert Gibson in the Beat the Champ TV title match. So, you know, again, Dutch has really cleaned up his act since Cornette was impeached. He's being friendly, and he's constantly sucking up to Les Thatcher. I mean, just constantly sucking up to him throughout the commentary. I also heard Dutch say Ricky Gibson a few times here as he played to the fact that he was nervous about his job. Now, I think he planned that and meant to say Ricky instead of Robert because he wanted to really make it seem like he was just, you know, he couldn't remember. Could you hear, let me ask this before we go to the end. When y'all are watching this, could you hear at the end of it, it sounded like they cut away from the audio at the live event to do like a voiceover?
Yes.
Did you catch that, Harper?
Yes.
Yeah, it sounded like something was off. Yeah.
Definitely. It was really strange, and I had a feeling like they didn't, when they were watching live, didn't cut the right, you know, close to the show or audio for the show, and they had the voiceover in the studio, which would have been Tommy Noe's house. I don't know. Tommy Noe, if you're listening out there, you can confirm that when you hear it. But it was just really, really weird. So at the end, Gibson spills over to the floor after Heavenly Bodies pulled the top rope down. It was a weak finish, but whatever. Dirty White Boy pins a startled Robert Gibson when the Heavenly Bodies roll Gibson back in. So Dirty White Boy is now the new Beat the Champ TV title champion. After the match, Ricky Morton comes out to help Gibson, but the Heavenly Bodies attack him. Scott Armstrong comes out to help Morton, but when Armstrong is holding the chair that he used to chase off the Heavenly Bodies, Gibson gets up and he sees Scott with the chair, and it appears Scott has attacked Morton from Gibson's point of view. They push and shove a little before we go off air as they plant a seed of bad blood between Scott and Scott Armstrong and Robert Gibson. Doc, you first. Thoughts on the match and how this ended?
Man, this has become the Dirty White Boy belt, huh?
Beat the Champ, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times has he had it now?
I don't know, but he just retired like 3 weeks ago with it.
Nah, it's been more than 3 weeks ago.
I don't think so, man. Four. Dirty White Boy needs a real feud to sink his teeth in. He's been kind of roaming around here, but I need him in something big, and I think it's coming. I just can't envision a scenario where the Armstrongs and Rock and Roll have problems.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, because they're such babyface, you know, faces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't.
I can't
either.
Picture it being. It seems like if they're heels, they're playing heels to where it wouldn't feel real. It would feel forced.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. I don't. Yeah. It's gonna play out. Here's the thing. Rock and Roll by this point, they'd had the feud with the Bodies. They'd had the feud with Stud Stable. They've gone through so many feuds now. Like, they just come off the feud with the Bruise Brothers. I think in a way it just this occupied them for a little while before some other things were set in motion.
Yeah.
So you'll have to watch how this plays out. I don't want to say it's not terrible, but we'll see how it plays out. So yeah.
What a ringing endorsement.
What? No, I'm not saying it's bad, but well, let me say something. When I first saw this, my immediate response was, "This is dumb." And what I may say is this is dumb too is, so Gibson sees Scott with the chair and he's mad at him and thinking Scott did something. I was like, my immediate response was, dude, when you see this on TV next week, you're going to see he didn't fuck your partner. But he's reacting in the moment. And I like, actually, that they tell that started part of the story on next week.
Okay. Yeah.
They, like, clarify what happens there. So that's what I like. But anyway, this feud isn't going to sell out the... it's not going to set the territory on fire. We know that. They're two face teams. Come on, man. Think about it. Now, Tennessee Torpedo, if Steve Armstrong were to hit it, not on the Rock and Roll, but elsewhere, Tennessee Torpedo might set the territory on fire like it did on Urban Dictionary a few weeks back. Right, Hopper?
Yes.
But nah, the feud isn't going to. So I don't know. Anything. Uh-huh. What else you got from this segment, Harper?
It's just it is nice and kind of curious to see, like, to picture them being heel, but it just wouldn't look good on them, on either one of these teams.
Nope.
I think you could make the Armstrongs heels before you could Rock and Roll.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Like, you could even involve their dad in it where they fuck him.
Right. They're in great little shits.
Yeah. Right. And like, so Bob is an older man and they fuck him over. And so
quit taking my spotlight, old man.
Yeah. Go home, old man. Fuck you. I'm tired of this shit. You bitch. I mean, seriously, like that would work a lot better, but nah. Okay. So we had that. And that's how they go off air this week. There's no closing promo like usual. So we need to give out some disability checks. I want to remind everyone, please use the Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTAmazon. Great way to support us on an ongoing basis. If you're shopping on Amazon, please use it to make all of your purchases. The show gets a little bit sent in return to us. So thank you very much. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTAmazon. Now, let's do some disability checks. I went first last week. Doc, you go first this week.
We're in there now, pal. It's just good after good after good after good. And really the thing for me that kept it at the highest level was getting to see some WWF. I mean, Vince McMahon uttered the name Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah.
We're over. So for all that and more, give it, I'm going to say 8.8.
So you gave it higher than last week's?
Yeah, the Vince thing popped me. I don't know why.
Wow. Okay. That kind of shocked me.
They got the pay-per-view. They got their pay-per-view on their TV. That's you just didn't go around and see that shit back then.
Yeah, because if you remember back then in that era where a pay-per-view was, you know, a big deal, when they showed footage of the pay-per-view matches on WWE, it would say courtesy of WWF Magazine, and it was just pictures and fucking. And with this, you got to see almost a whole match, or at least the fucking the meat of it.
Yeah, yes. That's a good point. So you saw a good piece of a pay-per-view match that would have costed $19.29. I don't know how much would have been at this point.
$20, yeah.
Might as well have been a million for my ass at that time.
Well, yeah, that's true too. Wow, I'm shocked, Doc. I gave it a 9. It's weird. We're only 0.2 apart, but you gave last week's. You rated this one better than last week's. That's what kind of shocked me, because so much went down last week. But anyway, I gave it a 9. Harper, what are you giving it? Now, you gave last week a 9.5, so what are you giving it?
Right. I'm giving this one a 9.
Okay.
And one thing I love about this is that when you see them work with the Steiners on a fucking pay-per-view with the big light on them, dude, they fucking shine, and they show they can work with fucking anybody. And it makes you wonder who else there could have fucking done that besides them.
Who else in Smoky Mountain, you mean?
Yeah, if they gotten that chance.
That was a big stage for them to be on, man, to go up to WWE. I mean, think about it. We talked about that last week.
On a pay-per-view.
That's the other part. You're on a pay-per-view. It's not
SummerSlam,
house
dude.
Show bullshit. Right. Well, let's remember.
That wasn't in your house. That was SummerSlam.
Yeah, yes. But 1993 SummerSlam ain't 2018 SummerSlam either.
Where, no, you can only do
1993. That was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. No, I'm not saying, I'm not downplaying it. You're right.
We're shitting on things, pal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Says the person who shits on shit all the time. Fuck you. Doc, we are still 26 Apple 5-star reviews away from the Broad episode. Do you think it's ever going to happen?
No, and I don't care. Fuck these people. They don't. They shouldn't. They wouldn't know
don't
what to
say
do.
Say fuck these people.
Nah, they don't. They get this shit for free. I know the download numbers, and I know how many 5-star reviews we have, and it shit ain't lining up. So these people wouldn't know what to do if they heard from two real broads.
Okay. Hey, let me tell y'all something. Doc's broad likes to cut promos. Would you agree, Doc?
No. No.
Okay, is she good at cutting promos?
Sure.
He's fucking lying, and that pisses me off when he lies.
So I don't know what you're talking about.
Give us allegedly. Give us a 5-star review. By the way, she didn't pay for the cheese, Doc. But anyway, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We're 26 away, 27 away right now from the BTT Broad Logic episode, compliment of the broads, as I say, Broad Logic. So make sure you check it out and do that for us. And again, don't forget to become a patron, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Get access to all of the patron content, over 50 patron-only episodes that are available right now on the Podbean app. Let's keep going. It's Government Cheese Award time. Oh, boy.
This is hard, huh?
I'm trying to think, man. This is hard because so much happened with Corny and the Steiners and Corny getting fired, or impeached. Wow, he said impeached. I don't fucking know, man. Tammy, maybe?
Yeah, I'm giving mine to Tammy.
I gotta give it to Tammy. Yeah, I gotta give it to Tammy.
She's just too fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna do Tammy, not do her. I'm gonna give her to Tammy. Harper, are you giving it to Tammy too?
Yeah. Is she out of jail?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know. Doc, who are you giving yours to?
Man, Harper stole my spiel when he gave out his disability checks on my government cheese. The Heavenly Bodies went up to WWF and held their own and looked like they were just normal dudes on the roster. And so there's dudes back in Smoky Mountain we think about, but over the course of the next couple of years, there's a lot of people that leave Smoky Mountain and go up there. And I have to believe that the Heavenly Bodies paved that way by being the first ones up there and doing good work and holding their own. So I'm giving mine to the Heavenly Bodies.
Dude, imagine if fucking Dirty White Boy got a fucking fair shake. It was able to beat Dirty White Boy up there.
But see, you know what's fucked up about it? You make a good point, but guess what? They saw Dr. Tom go up there as one of the Heavenly Bodies, how he looks. And then what did they do with him?
Chop his hair off.
A few years later.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot about that.
So you can make a good point. Dr. Tom, and then he goes on to train every fucking star that they had for a while. Well, I don't say every, but had a hand in the Rock. I mean, you know. But Dr. Tom gets a fair shake as the Heavenly Bodies, and then zip. They chop his hair off and make him Candido's partner in some bullshit.
Some of that is corporations, dude. They want to see what you'll do. They want to see if you'll play ball.
Well, yeah. I agree with that. My point is, though, they don't fuck him as bad as they fuck Dirty White Boy with that bullshit gimmick. But the point being is, yes, if they got a legit fair shake where it was like, yes, you come in here now with this and you do what you did there, yeah, you're right, it would have been a whole lot different. But I agree with what Doc said a long time ago. Doc looked at Dirty White Boy and saw that balding hairdo and was like, that motherfucker's a hillbilly and we're gonna do this with him.
And
the other thing is, Jimmy Del Rey is what, 3 months in and now he's on WWF pay-per-views?
Did you listen to BTT yet, what Corny said about that?
Yeah.
Okay. It happened too quick for him? Did you hear when Corny said that?
Yes.
Yeah, he said, and Jimmy had been in the business for a long time by this point, but just the whole national exposure, he's already the gigolo. He's really the gigolo now. He's on national TV. Corny said a little bit too, he said he loved Jimmy Del Rey, but a little bit quick, a little bit too fast for him.
Yeah.
Literally became a star. I mean, he was already... God, I mean, think about what that WWF TV did for you at that point. I mean, still, would still do for you right now if you appeared on Raw.
Yeah.
No matter how bad the product is, you get exposure to a lot of people. All right. Well, who did you give yours to then, Doc?
Heavenly Bodies.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you gave it to like a segment or how'd you do it. So Heavenly Bodies appearing on SummerSlam, even though it happened a month before that?
Yes.
All right, cool. So that was another riveting episode. Doc with the disability check, 8.8. Harper and I both 9.0. And we both gave our government cheese to Tammy. Doc gave his to the Heavenly Bodies and the whole SummerSlam thing. Anybody get the Tim Horner Award this week?
I don't think so, huh?
I say that because I'm making a point. We watched this and we didn't shit on anything almost.
Yeah.
I mean, Doc didn't like the Black Ninja, but...
Yeah, that's that was kind of weak.
Yeah, but see, I know what it leads to, because now Bullet Bob is supposed to be gone, and Jesus Christ, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
All right.
But I don't know.
I trust you.
The Black Ninja, you want to give it to that, Doc? I don't know what else to give it to.
I don't care. Let's go.
He's tired. He's got a puke. He's probably sitting there, got a puke. Oh, man. Check out my friends, The Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. ROH is Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett. Doing their things on Mondays. Just search Wrestling Podcasts About Nothing or WPAN, wherever you get your podcast from. Shout out to the Hall of Fame patrons out there. Philip Allen, Frog Zeppelin, R. Smith 9000, 945 Sports Beat, a.k.a. Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, NPRU83, Alice, R.E. Miller 39, Justin underscore Andretti, J. Shiny 21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, Ship Daddy 32, USC 49 Dodger, Joe Green 3rd, T-Hog 94, SV Pazram, Martin Howell 71, Tim Moretti, the official research department of the show, Codeman 822, Godbold, Unreal, and Convince Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. We appreciate it. And that is about going to wrap it up for the most unprofessional wrestling podcast on the motherfucking planet. Yes, I said motherfucking. Harper, you got anything before we get out of here?
No. No.
Tell people where to find you on Twitter.
I'm on, what is it? I ain't what the fuck it is. What is it?
That's why I hate that.
CJH, who that, right?
Yes, I'm at Mike504Saints. The show is at BTT_podcast. Retweet the show when we post it, please. It helps it grow, even for the people who can't take a joke and don't like unprofessionality. Yes, I said unprofessionality.
Get a life.
Get a life. Grow some hair on your chest. Be a fucking man.
Eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah, that really, too. Huh?
All with of it.
With your wet cardboard skin.
Oh, shit. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Check the links in the show description. They're all there. The tinyurl.com, BTT patron link, the T Public store, the Pro Wrestling T store. It's all there, so check it out. And with all that said, it's time for us to get out of here. Harper, hit the timeline.
Book it, bitch.